Shanti. One of the subjects that's exceedingly popular at the moment is the subject of meditation. And perhaps 30 years ago, people weren't as aware of meditation as they are at the present time. Is it because conditions of the world are more stressful? Or is it that you are less able to cope with the situation? Perhaps it's a combination of both these factors. It's certainly true that in terms of just the physical environment in which we live and all the factors connected with pollution and population and so on and so forth, the situation is extremely stressful. When you're out in the roads, then you know that the traffic today is very different to the traffic that used to exist 30 years ago. And this is true of any city in the world, whether it's New York or London or Bombay and Delhi. And so definitely, the conditions are not as comfortable as they could be. But also it seems that our response to those situations is also perhaps not as tolerant or as powerful on an inner level as it could be. How do we change the situation? Is it possible to change the circumstances around us? Well, I'm not sure that it's going to happen overnight. Yes, I'm sure that over a certain period of time, it will be possible to change the situation. But it's going to take a little while, perhaps. And what am I going to do meanwhile? Am I going to allow myself to experience stress because the situation just continues to deteriorate, which it is moment by moment? Or can I approach it from a different perspective? Even though I can't change the external conditions, perhaps what I can do is change my inner response. And my own inner response can be one which I choose. It might seem just like a dream, but yet it is possible. Because whatever my feelings and my emotions are, whatever my state of consciousness and awareness is, it's actually something within my own power and ability to choose and to give commitment to and to create that situation. It seems that for a long period of time, we haven't bothered to take up this choice. And the result is that we've become a puppet of circumstance. And so it's circumstances and other people who dictate what our feelings and our emotions are. For example, if I find myself in front of a person with whom I have a difficult relationship, can I decide to maintain a state of calmness, of respect, an attitude in which my own consciousness remains stable and undisturbed? Or do I begin by thinking that because it's going to be a difficult person that I have to deal with, I'm not quite sure what state I'm going to be in at the end of 10 minutes or 20 minutes or half an hour? Do I have a concern for myself that perhaps in that space of interaction, perhaps I'm going to find myself in a situation of reacting in a way that I myself don't actually like? If I begin to follow a path in which I learn to look inwards and see what's going on within myself, then I'm able to determine and decide what it is I want to be and what it is I want to share in my interaction with others. And this path of turning inwards, of introspection, is part of the process described as meditation. It was only around 50 years ago, soon after the Second World War, that the word stress began to be applied to the condition of the human mind. Prior to that, it wasn't an attribute of human beings. It was a term that was being used to describe the stress and strain that a metal wire, for example, experiences when you apply pressure to it. I remember in my early teens at school conducting experiments in which here was a wire and here were different pieces of weights, and so you had to add those on and you had to measure how much stress the wire was able to take. But now, in fact, we constantly use the term stress to describe what's happening to the human condition of the mind. And the principle is very much the same, in the sense that as you apply a certain amount of weight to the wire, it maintains its elasticity, its flexibility, and when you remove the weight, it returns to its original state. But there comes a point, a critical point, beyond which, if a weight is added, it no longer is able to maintain that elasticity, but also continue to add pressure, continue to add weight, and it will get to the point where that wire will actually, it will break. The same thing is what we're experiencing in terms of human beings. When the mind is light and relaxed and easy, there will be all sorts of things happening around. And yet, you'll be able to be very cool, very flexible, and say, it's okay, it's fine, we can carry on. But if the mind is exposed to pressure continually, and it's unable to process that in a way in which it's able to deal with it, if the mind is unable to manage stress, in the sense that you can't remove the conditions that are creating the stress, what you're going to do about the traffic in the city? How can I do anything about the growing population? What am I going to do about the increasing pollution? These are just some of the factors. But one can't deal with those situations, but yet one can deal with one's own inner response. And so one has to be able to manage stress. And in a natural way, each one is equipped to be able to deal with it to a certain degree. But what seems to be happening at the present time is that it seems as if we're being pushed beyond our limits. And we're getting to the point where we're losing that natural flexibility, that elasticity, in which we can mold and adjust with the changing times and changing circumstances. And as we become stiff and rigid and hard, we find that we're not able to have that sweetness in our relationships with others, and consequently, we're not able to have that sweetness in our life that we would like to enjoy. And of course, as pressure is added on further and further, it's not only a situation of being a personality that's become rigid and hard, not just in terms of interaction with others, but also in terms of the experiences that we have within our own being in dealing with things. And I think this is one of the reasons why meditation has proved to be so very popular, especially nowadays. There used to be a time when people used to say, we want to relax and we want to learn meditation simply to learn to relax. But now I find that people are more aware that meditation isn't simply a process of relaxation. It is that, definitely. It isn't simply a question of learning to concentrate and discipline my mind, but meditation offers a great deal more than that. Meditation offers an insight into myself so that I'm able to develop my own inner being in the direction of my choice, so that I'm able to have a positive influence in terms of the circumstances around me, Meditation means I'm no longer just simply reacting to circumstances, so that it's not a factor of circumstances controlling me, but meditation means that I can actually choose what is the quality and what is the type of response that I would like to have within any circumstance or situation. In other words, you could say that meditation actually means becoming a master of myself, becoming a master of my own life. Sounds wonderful, doesn't it? And it's not so difficult. For many people, freedom is a very precious concept. Freedom is something that they truly long for. And sometimes we've confused difficult factors of independence and described that as being freedom. Obviously, there's a certain connection and relationship. But for example, if a young person who's just beginning to discover the joys of the world outside says, "I want freedom," perhaps what he's actually saying is that I want to be able to come home at whatever time of the night or early morning I choose. And he would describe that as being freedom. There's many other examples in terms of how we use the word freedom, just simply to be able to do whatever is of our choice. But there's actually another type of freedom that the soul is able to experience and enjoy, and that is freedom from stress, freedom from strain, so that the quality of life is actually as human life should be. How often is it that I can just simply enjoy whatever it is I'm doing, wherever I am, whoever it is I happen to be with? When I wake up in the morning, am I able to say, "It's going to be a very special day today"? Am I able to say that every single day? Because the reality is that every single day is very special in human life. And yet most days, of course, we wake up with a heavy head or a headache or with worries and concerns and cares. And more often than not, the response to the start of the day is, "Oh my goodness, how am I going to face yet another day?" And perhaps it might not be as extreme as that, but equally, perhaps it's not a situation where I can say, "Yes, I'm happy to be alive. I know that my life is special. I know that the gift of today is going to be a special gift." And yet, why should this not be my experience every single day? It's been said that human life is the most valuable of all. Human life is as valuable as a diamond. And yet that's not usually the experience of most people nowadays. It's an indication that something somewhere is a little out of sync, that it's out of tune, that it's not quite right. And before you can start putting it right, rather than try all the solutions outside, which we actually have been trying for quite a long period of time now, we always searched for answers outside. And perhaps we should be thankful for this, because that has led us to the situation of high technology, of science, of conquest over all the physical limitations of the universe. But although we've resolved all those situations outside, we haven't actually even begun to understand the conditions inside and the things that we have to do to resolve those. There's a very interesting term that can be used. They use the term astronaut for those who travel into outer space. But there's another term which is very similar, and that is the term yoganauts. And that kind of describe to use those who are traveling into inner space. Because going outwards has led to many victories, but yet the quality of experience of life has been one in which there's less peace, less love, less joy. And so certainly that hasn't been the situation of victory. And becoming a yoganaut requires no expense at all. Becoming an astronaut requires a huge amount of expense and training. And learning to travel into my own inner space takes a few moments and certainly no expense whatsoever. What I have to do is to do precisely just this. Instead of constantly focusing outside, learn to focus inwards. This is the first step of meditation. A very simple definition of meditation is the opportunity to focus on any aspect of eternal truth, to contemplate on aspects of eternal truth. There have been many different types of meditation that have been propagated in the world. In fact, I remember a particular festival that took place in London many years ago, and they had, I think, around 125 spiritual organizations under one roof, and it was like a spiritual bazaar, a supermarket, and different people were experimenting with different things. So some want to meditate to simply relax, some want to meditate to concentrate, some want to meditate to be able to develop occult powers, different things. But the meditation that I'm speaking of is the meditation which is a very simple process, in which one is simply looking inwards and focusing the attention of the mind on aspects of spirituality, on aspects of eternity, on aspects of truth. Which means that we don't use a sacred word, we don't use an image to concentrate on, we don't use a beautiful scene of nature or anything like that. What we're doing is letting the mind move, but focusing the direction of the mind in a very specific way. So for example, the first step of meditation would be to turn my attention to the awareness of my spiritual identity. Being aware that within this physical body there is actually another being. We use this term human being, and human applies to this, the physical body, but the being actually applies to that shining point of light which resides within this body in the center of the forehead. And I, the spiritual entity, this being, is actually that which is the most important aspect of this. Absolutely tiny, and yet more important than any of this. In the sense that if I, the soul, were not in this, would these eyes be able to see? Would this mouth be able to communicate? And so this instrument, this body, is extremely valuable and very, very precious. It's really a gift from God to us. Yet, it's only because there's the awareness of I, that being, that I then begin to appreciate how to make use of this instrument in the right way. No matter how wonderful or valuable an instrument may be, a piano, or a sitar, or a violin, yet if the person using the instrument doesn't appreciate the value of the instrument and doesn't know how to make proper use of that instrument with every wonderful music that's created. Rather, a person that's ignorant handling anything as precious as these things will just create a lot of damage and a sound that was chaotic. He would describe it as noise. He wouldn't describe it as music. In the same way, the human spirit, in its state of ignorance, is it actually doing wonderful, miraculous things that it could do through this precious gift of human life? Or rather, is it so unaware, so asleep, that the things that it's doing are things that we wouldn't even actually see happening in the animal world at the present time? And so what I need to do is to be aware of who I am, and the easiest thing is to practice this awareness for a few moments. Even now, what we can do is to have a little exercise in which we're taking up this very first step of meditation. Obviously, there are other steps along the way, but in this very, very simple exercise, we're taking up the first step of meditation in which we're beginning the journey inwards. I'd like to invite you to share this experiment. Sit comfortably in whatever posture is easiest for you, a posture in which you can let your body be still for just a few minutes, and I will speak out my own thoughts as I meditate, and I invite you to follow those ideas so that we move along in the same direction. And try this not only now for a moment or two, but try this in a few minutes that you have in which there's space and interval between one thing and the next, but most definitely first thing in the morning and last thing at night. Stabilize your consciousness in this awareness of the eternal identity, definitely in the morning, before you begin your day's activity, and at the close of the day, after you've completed your responsibilities for the day. You can sit with your eyes open. It doesn't matter, you don't have to close your eyes, but the important thing is the images that are in your mind's eye. So let the eyes see, but don't notice. But within the mind's eye, first of all, visualize the point of light. I focus on the center of the forehead and come back to the awareness of my eternal identity. I am the being of light. Within this physical body, I am the one who is the master of this instrument. Since I go deep into the awareness of this point of light, I can to that inner state of peace. On the surface, there are many thoughts in many directions, but as I go inwards, the thoughts become quieter, not fuller, and I touch peace within myself. I am peace. Peace is my original state. experience this awareness of my own inner peace. I'm able to let go of the external factors that have been worrying me and holding me down. And I come returning to that state of peace inside that I actually send out vibrations of peace. I, the being of peace, share peace with the world. I'm keeping this awareness of peace. I come back to the awareness of my physical surroundings, but now knowing I am peace and I have to share peace through words and actions in every interaction. Maintain this awareness as you work, as you walk, as you talk. Om Shanti. Meditation has been described as the time in which I'm actually able to listen to God. In contrast to that, prayer is sometimes described as the time in which I speak to God. And it's important to have had that experience of prayer and being able to speak to God. But it's also very important to be able to let the mind become quiet and still, so that then my mind is open and is able to receive whatever it is God wishes to say to me. This can be an experience for each one in the course of our normal human life. Sometimes we have felt that God is so far away and so out of reach that it isn't actually possible to have a living relationship with God. And so sometimes we just are content to offer rituals and devotion and prayers. Or sometimes it actually takes on another turn. And where we feel that God is out of reach, we perhaps even lose interest in a subject of God. And of course, if you lose interest in something, it's only a question of time. And then after a certain period of time, you come to the point where you say, well, maybe God exists and maybe he doesn't. I think because we haven't focused on the inner aspects of religion and spirituality, any religion, any form of reaching out to God, it seems that we've lost that inner experience and that inner spiritual strength that we need so very much in our lives today. When the pendulum swings from one direction to the other, when it reaches the end, then there's only one other way it can move, and it begins to swing in the other direction. So, for example, we've been experimenting with all the things of materialism and the consumer society, and I really think that the pendulum has reached to such a point that it's now hit the wall, and it's not able to go in that direction any further. The pendulum now has to swing in the other direction. And this is why people are again rediscovering the beauty of spirituality, the joy of meditation, and the appreciation of the need for a spiritual relationship with the Supreme. Meditation is very simple. It doesn't require years and years of study and practice. It can be learned within the space of some minutes, in fact. But yes, then to whatever extent I personally am interested and I continue to practice that discipline, to that extent I will be able to benefit from that, and I will be able to refine and master that art so that I'm able to develop it and take benefit from it. But the process of actually understanding the technique of meditation is a very few simple steps. The first step, I should be interested. If I'm interested in meditation, if having experimented with all the things the external world has to offer, I realize that